Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They're going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me. and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons a number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, to bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I to the company store.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer at the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Got you. Hey there, everyone. My name is Jordan from Happen Films, and this is a $420 tiny house. Let's check it out.
This beautiful structure behind us is the house that we built over the course of about 3 months out of pretty much entirely recycled materials. So the total cost of the house is about $420 if you include the petrol money that went into it.
And the size is about 2.5 by 2.5 meters, 6.25 square.
We went by dumpsters from demolition sites. We looked on the website Gumtree. We ended up getting pretty much everything we needed to build a whole house just for free.
So we decided to try and build our home with just hand tools.
Yeah, we tried to. We didn't manage to in the end. There were a couple of things that were too difficult for us to do with the tools that we had and the skills that we had.
So we ended up having to use a power drill and an impact driver.
We had to make 5 purchases. We bought some cement for the foundations, some steel bracing tape because it was a bit wonky, some screws for the roof, a little tub of wood glue to make some window frames. We bought chains to hold the windows open. Oh, and we bought the 6 things. We bought some hinges.
So we were using salvaged paper insulation to try and line the whole house, and we ran out. We were just short and we didn't have enough to do the roof. But luckily we found this tarp in a dumpster. We were out a couple of months ago going through the local supermarket dumpsters looking for food, and there was just this perfectly new tarp in brand new condition, and it's still in its packet.
I guess we wanted to challenge the idea that you need like a whole lot of high-tech tools and skills and knowledge to be able to build a house. I mean, that house is mostly built with a handsaw and a hammer. I think the main challenge we faced is that neither of us ever really built anything before.
I built a chook coop once.
Yeah, Rachel built a chook coop. I built a set of bunk beds once. We had to learn everything as we went. It takes it away a little bit from that professional need a whole lot of tools, need a whole lot of skills and a whole lot of different people. You need someone to lay the foundation, someone to build a frame, someone to paint it. The conventional building methods that are used, it's hard to imagine them being sustained more than 50 or 100 years in the future, just the amount of resources that they require and the importation of all kinds of things. We acknowledge that this kind of building can't really be sustained either. It's not an indefinitely sustainable technique, but using recycled materials and building much smaller spaces is something that can be sustained for a lot longer into the future. We live on a community, which means there are communal spaces for socialising. We have a communal bathroom, shower. For us, a house is really just a place to be able to have some quiet time in, a place to sleep in, a place to store our personal belongings in. Living a more of a shared communal lifestyle means that we can get away with just a really small house because we don't really need.
How are you maximizing the gift that God put on the inside of you?
I knew that if God ordered the meal, he was responsible for the bill. And I felt like he was going to pay for it.
If he gave you the vision, he'll provide the provision.
I had $5 left in this plan, and I hadn't even fed my family of 8. And that day, I took that 5 and turned it into 60. I took that 60, put the 5 back that I started with, and turned that into 600 by the end of the week. And that is the same money that I've been flipping for 17 years. I did it with no debt.
Okay, Rob, can you hear me now? All right, you can hear me now. Okay. Okay, good. Let me find my way back to the studio. Yeah, I turned off the fan. I turned off the fan. Okay. Okay. Now I've got to maneuver something. Okay. Bear with us, people. We're having some technical difficulties here. Okay. All right. Okay, Robin, can you hear me now? First, well, hold on, let me open up the mic. Are you going to? Okay, well, this is weird here, but let's see what we can do. All right, so what is the city? Let me go back to the... All right. The definition I have here is a large thing. What qualifies a place as a city? All right. The typical working definitions for small city populations start at around 100,000 people. Common populations definition, a city or town range between 1,500 people to 50,000 people. But there's no hard and fast definition on a city, a town, a village. And no matter what it typically town, city, the common denominator is, they typically started with one person or just a small handful of people. All right, New York City did not start off with a population of 8 million people. All right, so anyway, Gross, Nebraska started with Mr. Gross, and he bought 83 acres, and he put a general store there. And you can't get any simpler than that. All right, so... Later this week, we'll get into the different distinctions of cities because they're first-class cities, second-class cities, third-class cities, and fourth-class cities. All right. And then, but we're in the tiny town business and village business. That's the business that we're in. Okay. Now, due to the fact, because I'm getting not an echo, but everything I say, I'm hearing it twice. So I don't know what to do to straighten this out. So unless somebody has some announcements, I'm finding my way back to the studio. Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. I'm just waiting for the boot. All right. Close all windows. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Okay, I just closed all windows. All right, Robin, if you can hear me, send me a text. Am I still connected? All right. I've been on for a minute 12. All right. So if you can hear me, hold it. Don't send me a text just yet. Let me get into the studio. And press one so I can see your hands. If anybody can hear me. All right. My board is populating on my phone. So if you can hear me, press 1. Okay, let me try this then. Robin, can you hear me? All right, this is weird. All right, she's not responding. Oh, she can hear me. Okay, good. All right, well, okay. All right, well, look. Once again, my definition of a city, not a town or a village. It's, once again, a residential consumer community. The primary function of that community is they consume. They work, but they consume. They're not so much producing, but they're consuming. That's my definition of a city, a residential consumer community. And on a very basic level, you have some towns that they have set up because they provided two things for consumers, water and electricity. Now, there might be other businesses that are in that time. Now, other periods of time, including today, some people have set up a town and a single economic engine would be a general store. All right. And as more people came, it went from, man, I mean, it could go from, like, the guy who founded Everett Washington. He bought over 600 acres of land, and he started out homesteading. That's the township distinction that he had. It was a homestead. It went from a homestead with one person to a village. To a village, you know, to a larger village, which they called town, and now Everett Washington, with over 100,000 people, is a city, probably a first-class city, because they have four classes of cities, I believe, first, second, third, fourth. They might even have fifth class. All right, so in any event, that's it for today. We are offering we're working on some things that we'll put out here tomorrow, because we have some tech difficulties today, and if anybody's got any shout outs or any information they want to put out, raise your hand now, because we're going to go off in a couple of minutes. Most days go well here on Blog Talk, and we don't have any technical difficulties. Other days it's, you know, like today. So, okay, I guess it's a quiet and a slow Monday. Let's see. All right, well, I'm opening up. Robin, if you got any news, you can share it now. If not, matter of fact, can you hear me? Okay, well, slow Monday, folks. All right, well, have a good rest of the day. See you guys tomorrow.
I go.
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Yo, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
Alright. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're gonna put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
Okay, we got an interesting Monday going. We're not logging off. Let's see. We gave a definition of a city. We featured Tiny Town, which is for us, Tiny Town number 3, Gross, Nebraska. That was started by a guy named Gross, obviously. They have a Wikipedia page. 83 acres, he put a general store there. And we're in the Tiny Town startup business. Some people in the tech business start up with techs. We do startup towns. 309 area code. Your mic is open.
Good morning, good morning. And yeah, I heard that Silicon Valley. 50 square miles of land was turned into Silicon
right.
Valley because of the technical.
Right.
So I do know that much.
Yeah, we're not doing that's good information. They, like I say, they start tech startups, but we're going to specialize in doing tiny town startups. We featured, what do you call that place? I wouldn't exactly call them tiny. Well, Freedom, Georgia. Then, you know, you got Hope, Georgia. But that's our niche, tiny town startups. And then, of course, we'll give the history, as we always have, on other towns that have been around for like over 100 years. 813 area code, your mic is open.
Oh, yeah. Just saying hello to Chris. I tried to call you, and I left a message, so check your messages and give me a call back. And I am forming the company already, right now as we speak, the town, Maben Town.
Maybentown. All right. Yeah, that, like I say, you know, everybody's heard of tech startups, but we're doing tiny town startups.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Man, you know, we've been talking about it the whole time. I just, you know, let this, that's our niche. Anyway, Chris, any other information to share with us? All right, Chris is around. He's always working on something, building.
Yeah, my phone. Somebody's trying to call me there. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Any updates on Hope, Georgia?
Well, I did get a text message this morning that said that Dr. T had got everything done that she was needing to do. I'm not sure. I haven't had a conversation with her yet this morning. But I think, you know, everything's moving forward and the team is moving forward on what we're working on to get that started. But, I was sitting here and I was concentrating on what Robin had said about calling my number. Call me again. I haven't set up my voicemail. I switched carriers and I need to change it over. So I didn't receive your voicemail. So if you could just text me or something and then we'll start a conversation that way.
Okay, I will. And I believe I did send a text too. There were two different numbers that I had.
Okay.
One was for Chris Collins and one was for Hope Housing, I think.
Well, I'm thinking my phone number, it should be the same number, 309-542-6319. That should be the number.
Okay, let's see here. I don't know. I'll figure it out, but I will be speaking with you on today, sir.
Awesome. Wonderful. I love it. And I did speak with the PIC TV network about getting your show on there as well.
There we go. I just sent another text message. What was the last four numbers? 3194?
No, 6319.
631. Hold on. Let me do this again.
Should be 309-542-6319.
6319. Okay, thank you. 6319. Oh, goodness. Go ahead, LA. I didn't mean to hijack your
no
show.
No, I was asking Chris, for people who hadn't heard, share with us the plan for Hope, Georgia.
It'd be a 41-acre site that will do a veterans community on 10 acres of it. On another 10 acres, we're going to do women and children escaping domestic violence. And then we're going to put on music. We're going to do music shows to raise money. We're going to do craft shows. You know, so we support everybody's little small business that you're doing at home, your little entrepreneur parts. You can all be part of this, but at the same time, raising money and awareness so that we can buy more and do more. That's the key ingredient behind this, is do as much as we possibly can. And this property is a place for people to come and explore, you know, what they're going to be, because we're going to have projects on it. We got a barn that we're going to turn into a culinary arts restaurant. So the people in the program here will actually learn culinary arts, but they will be growing the food and everything right there. We'll do a farm stand out there where people can come and get the food, anything that's going to help sustain the project. but also give people purpose and the reason they're doing it.
I want to come. I'll okay, jump. I'll so. Come and jump out the cake.
I love it. Yeah.
Now, what's the if a person's interested in let's say touring Hope, Georgia, any arrangements for that yet?
I don't know if we've got arrangements to where we can tour, but maybe in a week or two we probably can. I know that there's people that are living in the houses that are on the property right now, and they've got to move out. So I don't think we're taking possession until they are gone. I found that out this past week, that people
okay.
are staying on property.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, it's a work in progress.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd be great to be able to offer tours right now, but we won't be able to for a little bit.
Let's see. Oh, man. All right, the board's filling back up again, so I guess everybody can hear everybody.
Awesome.
Okay, well, let me, because we had some of these tech difficulties. All right. Since it's so short, all right, what is a city? And then the tiny town that we featured today, our 23rd feature, was Gross, Nebraska, GROSS. So let me go back and read about Gross, Nebraska again in light of, you know, what happened. Now, Gross, according to Wikipedia, Gross is a village in Boyd County, Nebraska. As of the 2010 census, it had a population of a whopping 3 people. Okay, the history of the town is Gross was founded in 1893, and it was named for Ben Gross, who kept a general store. So 83 acres and 3 people. But it started with 83 acres and a guy, one guy who wanted a general store, and he opened it up. And I imagine he's certain, and let's see, that's in 1893, because it's 2023 now. Right, 2023 now minus 1883. Oh, hold it, 93. So Gross, Nebraska is 130 years old. All right. Now, it's had a population higher than that at times. But right now, after 130 years, it's still there. The interesting thing is, Ben Gross, who had the vision of, I want a general store, you can do that in 2023. All right, now Ben Gross did it without an internet connection. He didn't have a smartphone, anything like that. All right. So as a quick review before I go into my definition of a city, is how, like, he bought 83 acres. So it wasn't a city when I guess his name, Ben Gross, bought the 83 acres, all right? And it wasn't a general store. I mean, he didn't have a general store. He just had 83 acres. And then he put a general store on there, and he decided to call it. I mean, well, somebody named it after him. So I don't know whether he had passed or whatever, but they named it after him. But the economic engine to start off was the general store. Now, the definition of a city, and there are different definitions. There's no hard and fast definition of a city. It varies from town to town, county to county, city to city. The most simplest definition of a city that I've heard is it's a large town. Okay. Now, in the United States, there are different distinctions of cities. Oh, man, okay. All right, let me wait a minute. All right. Okay. Let's go with, let me see, there's a fifth class city. There are different classes of cities in the United States. A city and a town. Once again, a city is a large town. So we're concentrating on cities this morning. So let's look at fifth, if they have them, fifth class cities. If they have such a thing. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. All right. Listen, in Utah, a municipality with a population of 1,000 people or more, but less than 10,000 people, is a fifth class city. But that's in the state of Utah. All right. Now, what is a fourth class? So there are at least five classes of cities in many states in the United States. Some states have four classes of cities. Once again, a city is a large town. All right, now, a fourth class city, all right, cities that have less than 10,000 people are classified as fourth class cities. All right, well, let's now, but in Utah, all right, so in Utah, it can be either one. All right, now, let's go with second-class cities. Oh, no, hold on, before we even go to that, let's go to third class. Third class cities. And this is in the United States now. Okay. Classes of cities. Let's just knock it all out. Okay. Classes of cities. Okay. Cities of 150,000 people or more constitute in the United States a first-class city. All right, cities of 39,000 people or less, cities of 39,000 but less than 150,000 people are classified as second-class cities. So if you ever hear somebody talking about, well, I'm a second-class citizen, that just means that person, at least in the United States, they live in a town that has at least 39,000 people but less than 150,000 people. A third-class city in the United States has 10,000 people minimum, but less than 39,000 people, no more than 39,000. And in a fourth-class city in the United States has a population of 10,000 people or less. All right, and then Utah has a fifth-class city distinction. All right. Now, and mind you, they all have to be municipalities. They all must need a corporate charter in order to be classified as first class, second class, third class, fourth class. All right. Now, fundamentally, as a review, here are my seven. They're municipal towns. I'm doing town. Matter of fact, let's look up the definition of a town. Okay. Definition. Define. All right. Let's see. Mission of town. All right. The definition I'm looking at here is... I don't like that one. All right, what legally, let's see. A town is the center of the population that is larger and more developed than a village. However, a town is not incorporated as a city. Okay. So if it gets big enough, it can be incorporated as a city. That's by population. A town is smaller. Here's where I'm at with it. A town is smaller than the city. The size of the settlement to be called a town varies in different parts of the world. I like that. Okay. Because we've featured towns on here that are 1 acre big. Robin's working on one that's 2 acres big. All right. Luckenbach, Texas, is 10 acres big. Holland Beach, Maryland, which is over 100 years old, is 50 acres big. And like I say, our niche, and we've been doing this for over 9 years, our niche officially now is we're a tiny town startup business. That's our niche. That's our lane. That's what we do. In the tiny town niche, we can put up tiny houses, general stores, wellness clinics, anything we want. So more on that as we go on a day-by-day basis. Man, it took me, geez, took us, because I didn't do this alone, over 2,300 podcasts to find our true identity, our true purpose of what, you know what? Now, this all started with a squatter. So I've never mentioned that squatter's name on this podcast, and most likely never will. But if I ever run into them again, I'm going to give them a sincere thank you. Because it all started with a squatter. Because in my tiny town, I'm the mayor. And if you got a matter of fact, you got to get a passport to get into my place. You don't have, I'm not talking about a United States passport, but an Earthworld E-Village passport. You don't have one of those, you can't even get on the grounds. And on top of that, you're going to have to take a course based on the house rent. That means you've got to build the house male builds 5 to 10 to 12 nests before mating season begins in the house rent community. So you got to give it up. You got to have the passport. And now that I'm thinking out loud, they really shouldn't even get that passport until after they've built a minimum of 5 houses. I think I'm going to go with that. But that's what my community, my little tiny town, there'll be other people on here with other tiny towns besides mine. So their rules, their mayorship, they do what they do. So whatever it takes to get into their town, you have to follow their rules. Anyway, okay, I got to find my way. I'm off my soapbox now.
Well, that was his mayoral debut there, giving his speech for acceptance.
But the talent is, because like through Chris's network, I mean, people have got like 100 acres in Belize. And, but like I say, you can set this up. I mean, you can set things up you can start off as a homestead, which is private. You can have a village, which is private. You can do clothes, memberships. That's why we We feature at least one tiny town a day. And you can see they, a lot of them just started through humble beginnings. Even a lot of your larger towns with 100,000 people or up into the millions, like Houston, Texas. I've said this several times. It started with two brothers who bought like 2,000 acres of land. And when they passed away, I doubt if Houston, Texas even had 2,000 people. But, you know, they've got over 1 million people that live in the city now. So, you know, you don't know. You know, it's wild how somebody, how simplistic a lot of these towns have. And even with their little tiny numbers, you know, like Gross, Nebraska, it's over 100 years old. It only has three people. But you know what? That's probably, they want to keep it small. They want to keep it small. So people start towns for different reasons. But in the light of all this homelessness on a global level, including here in the United States, people need a place like Hope, Georgia, and Mabintown, you know, to fit the bill. Because some of these towns, I mean, some of your larger towns, for what they define as affordable housing, $600-800 a month, I don't call that affordable housing for seniors. Of course, I don't call that affordable housing for anybody, but that's me.
Well, what did you say, $600? Yeah. Anything under $1,000. But listen to me, market rate across the United States, $1,000, that's affordable. Across average across the United States, $1,000, that's when you look at cities like in California, New York, you know, your major popular cities like that, Seattle, $1,000. So $500 to $1,000, that's affordable, even though you might not think it's affordable, but that is an affordable rate.
Because see,
in today's times.
Yeah, see, because that's why I'm see for, and everybody's got a different definition. That's why I'm. I give a true story. A friend of mine was paying $700 a month rent in a city on the East Coast, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic region. And I told him, at the pandemic, you know, he fell behind on his rent. So after he told me what his rent was, okay, I said, which was $700 a month, I said, man, if I were you, I would take that $700 and I would walk into Home Depot or Lowe's and buy you the materials you need to build you a place of your own. Now, granted, you can need a place to, you know, to build it. Okay.
Yep.
But I would start with friends, family, somebody who had a backyard. But now that's me because I'm spoiled.
Listen. You're on the right. You're on the right track. But friends, family. Yeah, okay, but you want to do it like with a contract or some sort of business arrangement, right? Because without that, you're at someone's whim. If they get mad at you or whatever, they can terminate or kick you out. So you want to be in some sort of formal arrangement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you do.
That's what I would suggest anyway, because people are real. Anyway,
So, yeah, but we'll be more into the, like I said, we're going to be doing tiny town startups. And all we're not doing anything new. We're just basically, the Amish have done it. They do it. The Mennonite do it. The Hutterites do it. It's been done forever, you know, from ancient times. You find a settlement or find a piece of land, and you can do it by yourself, or you can form a little community. Okay, you don't need hundreds of people. You know, you two people, and you go from there. I mean, there's some things that we're going to, you know, we're going to recommend that you have an economic engine and whatnot. And then we'll give, that's why every day, like we've done the last 23 consecutive days, is it 23 or 24? Anyway, we've done 23 days where we featured at least one. But there'll be others. So, we'll be looking forward to people becoming their own, starting a place and becoming their own mayor. If they choose to, you know, matter of fact, on the TV show Green Acres, I think it was Green Acres, either Hank Kimball or Sam Drucker. And I know on Andy Griffith's show, Andy was the sheriff, and he was also justice of the peace. I don't know if they ever, I had to find out if they ever defined the population for Mayberry. But with Sam Drucker, he had the general store, and I think he was also the postmaster. And Hank Kimball, he was the county clerk. I don't know if he held any
postmaster general.
Okay. But they're little towns like where there's they're the mayor, they're the road crew, they're the post office person, they're the saloon keeper. I mean, they might have four or five or six different hats. Or if it's a husband and wife team, they divvy up, you know, the town chore, but it's amazing so we figure, okay, in 2023, that's our niche. Tiny town startups, which need communication systems, and then some people will gravitate to these startups for various reasons.
So I just
you're saying, Robin?
I just purchased the LLC for Mabentown.
So it's awesome. Official Mabentown LLC. Yeah, we can hear
Mabentown Mabentown LLC is in Presidio County, Texas. It takes them about 3 weeks to process, so I'm expecting it to come in by the 15th. It's not instant, so the 15th of July, of August, I mean.
All right, well, You got the work in.
Yep.
And it's a 2 acre. Now, the 2 acres are sitting there. She just finally named it. So it's a, Mabentown is a 2 acre, tiny town in Presidio County, Texas.
You know, I got
It's about an hour away, if that, to the. Chris.
No, I was letting you finish. I was going to say I did get a phone call this weekend.
Chris.
That we have 8,000 solar panels in stock ready to go. So anybody that's wanting solar on their house, we do have that material. I've got 370-watt units, and I've got 410-watt.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to you today.
Well, Robin, any plans politically for who's going to be the mayor of Mabentown?
I'm going to be the mayor.
Okay.
I'm gonna be like the Tonight Show. I'm gonna be the host, the sidekick, and the band leader.
Well, that's what you have to do in small towns, in tiny towns. Oftentimes, you have to wear
And then when it grows, then we will look into developing a city council. But I just kind of think of leaving it with the mayorship, with the single mayor, you know, like that, just to keep it simple.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep it exactly.
You
keep
know,
it. And that's, you know, I think that's why a lot of these towns have stayed around for over 100 years. Lutenbach, Texas, Gross, Nebraska, all of the 23 towns that we haven't even finished the towns got 50 people in it yet. Except for Venice Beach, Maryland, that's 13 acres big, and 50 family members make use of it. All right. But they're over 100 years old. So by keeping the numbers down low, like basically Venice Beach is for family and friends only. I consider it a private town. All right. So by keeping it simple, that's why a lot of these towns have been, you know, over 100 years old.
If we're doing these in different states, we can name one, use a name, and then repeat the name over and over again, which I just had one and I lost it, but I'll share it with you when it comes back to me. But
that's true, because Mabentown could be, that's Texas. You can be a Mabentown, Mississippi,
Arkansas,
Mabentown, Alaska, wherever. Now, she doesn't have a 911 address for it yet, but it's a 2 acre town. 2 acre town.
And we know we've already featured towns that are smaller.
Congratulations, Robin.
Yes, congratulations.
I think I've covered maybe 2 1-acre towns. Punkyville, Kentucky's one of them. But yeah, that's our niche. Tiny town startups.
Wow.
So
wow. I'm excited.
And I have to say, let me give out some shout outs and some thank yous. First one goes out to Robin. Because Robin actually got me into Blog Talk. I met her on Blog Talk. Know. So a friend of mine in college told me about I should do podcasts. So the first podcast, or one of the first that I listened to, was at 7:30 in the morning, East Coast time, which had to be 4:30 in the morning because Robin's on the West Coast. So Robin basically got me into Blog
yeah.
Talk and Spreaker. And I don't do Spreaker anymore. I might do it in the future. But she, it was a whole bunch. So Robin, that's first shout out. And then people like Beasley, Connie Beasley, who helps out quite a bit. And then all the other listeners who've been, you know, with me for a few years. And then Chris. Now, Chris is relatively new, Chris Collins, okay? But the manufacturing end, because he builds and develops before I knew him. He knows more about it than I do. So through all those, then Carlos hasn't been here for a while. I got to drop in on his clubhouse stuff. But any other people, but it's the thinking got elevated, and I had done Tiny Town features in the past, but for some reason this year it just all came together. So like I said, I niche Tiny Town Startups. We have basically just super low competition. I'm not even worried about it. Excuse me. Okay, well, I thought we would have been off the air 45 minutes ago, but the technical difficulties cleared up. And that's how we're going to get build 100 tiny houses in a day. Because if we set up a number of tiny towns, okay, we don't need 100 tiny towns. Okay, we can probably get away with maybe 20 tiny towns, and then each one of them does it, you know, stuff boots on the ground.
They only have to build five.
And
if
I imagine
each town, if we had 20 towns
go.
And each town built five.
If we have 20 towns set up, right. And we'll have 20 towns. I would say by the end of September, we'll have 20 tiny towns. We'll have that.
Wow.
You know, in this month of July, yeah, we'll have that. Okay. And basically, it's basically, okay, it's my lane is, I have a lane. Okay. Robin, you have a lane. Chris, you have a lane. So we all have lanes, so if we just follow our lanes and then take advantage of, you know, like say, I do the tiny town features every day because with the tiny town features, wait a minute, if this guy can do this way back when, I mean, the guy who started or founded, Everett Washington, this guy didn't even have any power tools. He built the cabin. He didn't even have a community.
And he was
but
also an ex-con, correct? He's an ex-con also, right?
Oh, that's another town. There's another town.
Oh, it was another
that town you're
okay.
talking about is in Ferry County, Washington.
Uh-huh.
That was started by an ex-con. Yeah, that's in Ferry County, Washington. All right. So the former slaves, okay, we feature at least two of them that started towns. Hopkins Park is one of them. New Philadelphia, Illinois is one of them. And the third town started by a slave that we featured, Brooklyn, Illinois. That town still exists to this day. So there's all kinds of people that has started towns with no power tools, no internet connection, no smartphones, no tablets, no desktops, none of that. You know, no Google this, no Yahoo. By looking at some of the histories of, because we also want to take a look at towns that met some type of demise. you know, through fire, flooding, riots, or what. We want to take a look at, okay, what did they do? Because we got the benefit of hindsight now, 100-year hindsight. What didn't they do 100 years ago that we can do today that will hopefully prevent certain events happening to the communities that we start? And then even, you know, like we're going to take a closer look at the couple that bought 1,000 acres of land out in Colorado. Okay, but they've been having, I don't know what the current status of it is, but as Connie Beasley brought up, I believe, last week, last Monday, I believe, and we record all these podcasts, whereas, you know, you have to set up a perimeter. Because really, a lot of these towns that started up, and we're talking about historically, we're not talking, because they have towns like Columbia, Maryland, that was a planned community, but it was done in, what, the 60s? But historically, a lot of towns started up with tents. You know, and, you know, what's the parameter? What kind of security measures? So we'll be going through that and the most important thing is to start. Is to start. So that's our niche, tiny town startups. And some people already have the resources to, you know, to put this stuff in operation. So, and then some people, you're going to recognize, oh, wait a minute, I do have a resource, or they're close at hand. So that's all my rant is for today. So anybody else, any closing statements here, your tiny house startup channel here on Blog Talk, and put it on Clubhouse as well?
Definitely. I'd like to, you know, one, you said, you know, what can we do different today that they didn't do then? Well, we're going to create purpose for people. We're going to show them equality.
Right.
Instead of segregation. So, you know, the one thing
right.
about it is the dread. The human being as a human being and an individual and not a category. So I think just by showing respect
right.
to people, you know, it'll be a town system that I think people will want to move to, because they're going to understand that they mean the same as everyone. There's not the better people and the worst people. It's get all people to understand that you are amazing. You have your own specialties, your own superpowers.
Right.
But the one thing you don't have right now is an opportunity. And that's because of greed. It's been the greed over the need.
Right.
But I think if we meet the need of the people, I think the people are going to want to move there.
Oh, no doubt. Affordable housing. Debt-free or practically debt-free housing, just like with the Freedom Georgia Initiative, that was started by three women that lived in Metro Atlanta, and they found a spot 2 hours outside of Atlanta, so they discovered, you know what? We will be able to do things here, then, because in Atlanta, let me simplify a town like Atlanta, New York, London, or whatever. Imagine a farmer's market, okay, which most people have gone to, a farmer's market or a flea market. And typically at a farmer's market or a flea market or a combination of the two, you have vendors, okay, and they're selling various things, okay. Some things you need, like food, clothing, you know, there's a lot of hodgepodge at flea markets and farmer's markets. So Now, and you pay a certain amount of money weekly or monthly to get you a booth or a spot at the farmer's market or flea market. Okay. Well, taking a page out of the Amish and Mennonite bag is many of them operate family farms, family manufacturing concerns like, you know, building tiny houses, building barns, making shoe fly pies. They'll get together and they'll form a farmer's market consisting of all entrepreneurs, and they sell their wares. Others, and there's been a whole lot of others, they say, you know what? You buy this 5 acres, you buy this 100 acres, you buy this 20 acres, let's all come together and form our own town, and we'll sell our wares that way. All right. So think of a town as a glorified flea market or farmer's market. Now, there's a lot of towns like where I'm at. I'm in Lakeland, Florida, Polk County, Florida. All right. The Cumbie family, from what I hear and read, they own a lot of land here in what's called Lakeland, Florida. And there are other businesses, because my definition of a town, a city, is a residential a residential community that supports businesses. Okay, so with here in Lakeland, Florida, if you strip away all the businesses here in Lakeland, Florida, Lakeland, Florida, the primary business of Lakeland, Florida, the way I see it, is they have a water company, they sell water, and they sell electricity. If all the businesses move, if McDonald's, Wendy's, Walmart, whoever moved out of Lakeland, Florida, the city of Lakeland owns the utility company, and they sell water and they sell electricity. Now, the government of Lakeland, Florida is, now what I like about it is here, you don't have to buy water or electricity from them. Part of my system here is solar, and then I'm off the well. I got a well here at where I'm at. In some cities, they don't let you dig your own well. All right? And in some subdivisions or HOAs, you can't have solar panels. Here in Lakeland, Florida, you can have that. So you can generate your own power independently here in Lakeland, Florida. But like I say, every business can move out of this town, and it wouldn't go broke because they sell every economic engine here in Lakeland, Florida. And there are other towns like that all throughout the globe. Now, you, whoever you are, who's listening to this podcast, this live stream, you can do the same thing. But in order for you to do it, you've got to start from scratch or almost from scratch. You got to find your own turf. Because places like New York, Chicago, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Miami, Wall Street, and investors who got in before you were even a thought to be conceived, they tied those towns up over 100 years ago. So you can march and you can protest all you want. You're going to get good exercise, but that's it. If you want real power, as Jock Eaton said in the TV show Dallas, you have to take it. The way to take it is find your own patch dirt that had, like, anything I get is on agricultural, and I don't want nobody's utilities. Why should I get water from a municipal water source when I'm walking on, when we all of us are walking on an ocean of water all around the globe? Anyway, I'm getting off my soapbox. All right, well, we still got time, people, so even after 10 seconds, we go over time every day. I thought, we were going
and
to
I got my
technical difficulties out an hour ago. All right, Robin.
She just got her EIN numbers. I just heard it.
I got
all right,
the EIN
so
numbers
Robintown,
for
Mabintown. Mabintown. And I've had this 2 acres like for 2 years now. Unnamed. We weren't having this conversation 2 years ago.
Wow.
But Robin's 2 acre tract of land.
A name.
Is now officially a name recognized by the federal government of the United States of America.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like I said, she had 2 acres 2 years ago. And Robin, tell us some of the amenities, because it's
thank you.
It's not far. Well, tell them about, I mean, the county, because the county borders Mexico.
So, Presidio County, it borders Mexico, less than 50 miles away from there. There's a state park, a national forest, you know, so there's
it's big,
you can live off the land.
Big Bend State Park. Yeah. It's all right, same county, or Presidio County. Next door to Big Bend State Park in Brewster County, which is right next door, is Big Bend National Park or National Forest. Within the same county where Mabintown is, there's Presidio, Texas, which is one of the border towns into the nation or the country of Mexico. And you can go camping there. You can go live there. They have an art scene in the county. It's 2.5 hours away from, El Texas, which is another border town. And in the next county, I believe, one of the wealthiest men in the world has his launching pad there. What's the name of Jeff Bezos' space company?
SpaceX.
Say that again? Yeah, SpaceX.
All right, SpaceX. Okay, let me see what county that is in. SpaceX. All right, the company is SpaceX Launchpad. Let's see. Yeah, three launch pads.
That should be Elon Musk. It would be SpaceX, right? Not Jeff Bezos.
Oh, no, I think, no, Bezos. All right, hold it. Let me look it up that way. Okay. Jeff Bezos.
No, it would be Elon Musk.
No. Bezos is the one I want.
No, Bezos is the one that has Amazon.
Yeah, but Blue Origin, that's the name of it. Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin.
Blue Origin.
Yeah. Blue Origin launch pad. Launch site. Okay, is in Corn Ranch. Okay, the location is Van Horn, Texas. And Van Horn, Texas is two counties over from Presidio County.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two counties over. It's our neighbor two counties over. So I can say
I do have a factory that's getting started in San Antonio this month. So I'm not very far from
running material from
right there.
Yeah, Texas offers a lot. It offers a lot. Let me see. And then, Texas has got, like, in that neck of the woods, it's got some counties that are bigger than some states.
So tomorrow you can schedule. You can put on the marquee the mayor of Mabintown. Then I'll be your guest tomorrow.
You know what? Done. Tomorrow, we're going to be interviewing the mayor. I've interviewed other mayors on here before. So tomorrow we're going to interview the mayor of Mabintown, and it'll be the first two-acre town that I've covered. I've covered a couple of one-acre towns, but I haven't covered.
Okay.
I've covered, 50-acre here, 13-acre there, but tomorrow will be the the first two-acre. So that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. It's federally recognized by the government now.
I'm a mogul.
You are a leader.
Well, the thing is, here's something that anybody can do. Let's get some math back into this. An acre, once again, is what, 560 square feet. So you've got 85,120 square feet. That's what you got there if you convert 2 acres into there are natural resources. There's at least 10 natural resources that are connected to this. Number one, there is groundwater there. Number two, there's sunlight there. So where you can put solar panels on it. I mean, she might put it up there one day. And a central, decentralized, solar farm up there, and it can supply electricity to the infrastructure of Mabintown, or it can supply electricity to any type of solar cabin that is built in Mabintown. So, but it's her town. I can't tell her what to do.
I'm open for suggestions.
And, well, you know what? Tomorrow, we'll say that interview for tomorrow. Congratulations, Robin, on Maventown. And I'm sure there'll be other Maventowns that will pop up. I know one thing Robin will have.
Now if I can just get someone to give me a mule.
I ran across a site.
Well, how about?
And I'm going to see if I can get on here. She has 40 acres and a school. But, yeah, Robin, you can have your own school on there. You can do anything, really. You know, so anyway. All right, so tomorrow, that's the topic for tomorrow and the guest for tomorrow. We'll be talking about Mavenville. I mean, Maventown. Maventown, Jesus. Oh, and then also later in the week, I guess Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, Dr. T, whenever she's ready, she can come on and promote, what do you call it, Hope, Georgia? Because I say she can come in once a week and promote it. So, but that's Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday this week. Tomorrow, Maventown. And, boy, you know, Robin, you've come on. You know what? You need to write a book. Because you were homeless. Now you're mayor of your own town.
Yep.
And what I love about her is
from homeless to my own town.
Well, I was going to say, I heard her voice this week. I said I heard her voice for the first time this week, and I see action in this lady's words. I'm ready. You know, she's getting things done. She's doing things, and you know, this is about what it takes to get it done. You know, it just takes you to do something. And she made a comment she wasn't going to be able to.
Right.
She wasn't going to get her numbers and stuff for 15 days and wasn't 15 minutes. And she's sharing, she got her EIN number. So it was a quick process,
yes,
a lot quicker than she thought. So that means we can do it a lot quicker than we thought. So just inspiration.
Right. All right. Well, that's all for today. We're in overtime. So we had enough technical difficulties that we muscled through. And we stuck with it and got through it. So tomorrow, Maventown, USA.